Well, I think that the world we are now living has many features. I would simply underline two. First, that we are assisting to what Rousseau said, called the diffusion of power, in his book, The Diffusion of Power. What that means? It means that we are living a world which is going from one big power, some years ago, two big powers, to a multipolar world, where there will be some poles of decision, or some big powers. At this moment we can speak, of course, not only of USA and Russia, but about China, some of the new big countries which are emerging, Brazil, China, and for the moment still we can speak about Europe as one of these poles. We are in a world that at the same time is going from a concentrated governance to a multi-level governance. Expression which the old, we prefer to say federal governance, because it's really, it's the proper name, but not specially appreciated in the UK and in some countries of Europe that have replaced it by multi-level governance. Multi-level expresses that the governance is, of course, in different levels of power, but the system to organize this governance is federal, or it works better as coming from a country which has organized this multi-level governance without taking the federal scheme. I can say that it has all the inconvenience of the federal scheme and none of the advantages, and perhaps other countries will know that with the time. It's also a world that is characterized by growing exchanges in all aspects of culture, commercial, technological, and properly cultural. So the world has been always multicultural, and there has been always exchanges along the history, but now it's going more quickly. The new characteristic is that the growth is much more intense and quick at these times than it was before. Well, in this world, Europe must follow some orientation. And it's easy to identify these orientations because they are all expressed in Article 21 of the Treaty of the Union, a part of the Treaty of Lisbon. You just read this article and you find there what Europe must do in his foreign affairs policy, in fact, in his policy of exchange with all parts of the world. It's a programmatic article. You know that people like me, which come from practical law, tend to distinguish two kinds of norma. The programmatic one, which says what must be done in general terms, and the positive one, which says what is obligatory to do. If you say Commission has a commissioner per country, it's impossible to have two or three, you must have one. If you say you must enforce peace, you are expressing an aspiration. Of course, it does not mean that peace is enforced. Perhaps yes, perhaps not, but in fact it's a goal or an aim that you must pursue. Article 21 is of this last kind. It is also, you can say, a tutti-frutti article. Everything is inside. Even contradictory points, we can say, are in this article. But in fact, it expresses well what must be the goals in Europe to act in this world. And that's why I'll try to analyze it. In fact, if you look at this article, it's a very long one with three paragraphs. First paragraph mainly sets the principles that Europe must follow. And we, not only which must follow, it really takes the task of expressing which are the principles that Europe has followed since the beginning. The second paragraph establishes more properly the goals. Sometimes it's the same thing, but expressed in form of goals. And the third paragraph, the means to achieve these goals. As to the principles, if you read them, you say that Europe will be really a model of benefit action in the world. Well, it's normal that nations and empires seldom say that they fight mainly for their own interest or power, even if it is the case. Always a noble cause is spoken of. Nations say, I fight for liberty, I say for democracy for all, I fight for religion. All over the centuries, each of the big empires had a motto like that. And but perhaps no one has put it in a law, as the European Union has done. Say it in a law, we must act for that in our political foreign action. And what are these principles? The principle, it says, the end of European foreign action is to extend to the rest of the world the principles that have inspired the creation, development, and enlargement of the Union itself. So it's, as you say, it's an offensive attitude, not a defensive one. It's not a Europe that is frightened by attacks from the rest of the world, a Europe that says, no, I am going to extend my way of being to the rest of the world. The principles we can see there, the unenumerated democracy, rule of law, indivisibility and universality of human rights and fundamental liberties, equality, solidarity, respect for human dignity, respect for the principles of United Nations Charter and international law. You will say easily that it's a very bad law technique, because different things are missed in a same thing. One is the root of all the principles, which is the human dignity. It's the base for the principle that comes. Then you find the three big principles of French Revolution: liberty, equality, and solidarity or fraternity. And then you find also some means, like the rule of law and the use of the charters of the United Nations. All mixed, but with a little effort you can separate one for the others. Let me underline two points. One, that Europe considers human rights as indivisible and universal. In my point of view, it means that we don't accept the thesis that say that human rights must be adapted to different parts of the world, picking what is interested for this part or interpreting the human rights in different parts of different worlds. For example, it means that for Europe, the right for equality between men and women is equal in Europe and all the other parts of the world, being it the south of Mediterranean, Latin America, India, or China. We don't accept that there will be a distinction on that between different parts of the world. The second thing is that solidarity is specially mentioned, and solidarity is the basis for Europe. It's not my point of view. I have heard it to call some very often. Paul was always repeating, solidarity is the basis of Europe. And by the way, solidarity is not compassion. Compassion is one thing. Solidarity is different. Solidarity is to be responsible to the other. When you make a policy of solidarity, you are trying to develop the other in all their dimensions. We would say to enrich the other, because that enriches you also. So, solidarity is not a charity, it's a good business, and as I always repeat, I have never seen a country which practices solidarity to be more poor because of this, their solidarity, than before practicing it. Because in fact, enriching the other helps to enrich yourself. Then you will say, what are the goals? Second paragraph. Defense of the values, principles, and peace. One of the tasks that Europe has taken as proper to Europe is to defend peace. The origin of Europe was to obtain and defend peace inside Europe. That's a goal that we can think has been conquered, obtained, but also since the first moment, since the declaration of Paris, 9 May 1950, Europe, it's a mean to obtain peace in the rest of the world. That must be one of the goals of our foreign policy. But also, in a very preferent part of this second paragraph of the article, basic interests of Europe. It's less brilliant, but it's no less important. Security, independence, and integrity of Europe. Because these are generally the goals that each organization of power, each big country defends in the first place. Their own interests, security, independence, and integrity. And Europe must also defend that and maintain that. Cooperation for sustainable development and fighting poverty. It's very curious that you will find that all countries of Europe agree that Europe must fight poverty in the rest of the world, but not inside Europe, because inside Europe is something that is kept for the nations. So now we are assisting to an enormous brother fair between the countries that think that the European program for alimentation, which is now tradition, now giving food to the more poor schools inside Europe must be maintained in the European budget, and the one that say no, that must come back to the states, and it's a national responsibility. I heard the other day Barroso saying, I think that will be the solution, because in fact it's a contradiction. A union that should be responsible for fighting poverty outside and not inside, only in the member states will be responsible inside. Global commercial integration, it means to continue the efforts to achieve the Doha Round, because the efforts to make work again the OMC, which has been in fact blocked by the recent crisis. Quality of environment. You know that Europe is in fact at the vanguard of the fight for better environment since the Protocol of Kyoto, and still we are fighting for that. in fighting catastrophic events, the ones which are provoked by nature and the ones provoked by man. I'm really making a synthesis because, in fact, the article tells it in a very developed way. And in the end, the means, which are in the third paragraph, but also partly in the first and in the second. These means are association with third countries or organizations that share the same principles. Promote an international system based on a solid multilateral cooperation and in a good global governance. It seems that two stages are distinguished. The present one, where the better thing we can obtain is a solid international cooperation, and perhaps one for the more far future, which would be multi-level governance. It means a global governance. And that's clear to understand. You can have a governance based on democratic principles between political organizations that don't share the same principles. Is the biggest obstacles to have other regional organizations in Latin America, in Africa, everywhere where you don't have democratic systems. Europe is a regional organization that works because it has been done over democratic national systems and not accepting not democratic national systems. Otherwise it couldn't work. It's a requisite that is essential. Another mean is to use for these purposes all unions, policies and actions. What does that mean? Is that all soft power must be used for European action. I can say also that hard power too, when we have it, because in fact there is a policy which is the common security policies, and the very short realizations of these common security policies are also used. Of course, they are used in Bosnia, in Kosovo, in Libya, and so on and so. But they are not expressly mentioned in this article because they are mentioned in the article concerning the common defense and foreign policy. And it also says that Council, Commission and High Representative shall assure coherence in the use of these means. And there I must strongly protest because I don't find Parliament. I don't think that the authors of the article mean that Parliament can make its own foreign policy without the framework of this article. I think it was simply forgot. If it was done by parliamentaries. But in fact, the European Parliament, which makes a lot of foreign policy, quite a lot of foreign policy, every day must also insert this policy, this framework. Then I will finish with my own conclusions. What all these things I've read mean? I think it means that the Union shall try to be one of the poles of the multipolar world, one of the powers in the system of powers of the world. If you are not a power, you really do very few things in the world. So the first condition to prosecute these policies to be one of the world powers. We must maintain our European model, otherwise it's impossible to share with other parts our values, to share our principles, to share our democracy. That, as you will understand, means that I don't think Europe is going to melt or to go away. In fact, Europe is necessary to the world. Now the world begins to understand that the euro is necessary to the world. But it's not only the euro, it's all Europe that is necessary for the world. It's a condition for world equilibrium and for world peace. And so we must maintain not only Europe, but our European social and political model in the world. We must try to export it. Export why? In what form? By all peaceful means, or the other means of the article established, by all the soft power. Principally because we don't have a hard power. Soft power is always ancillary to a hard power. And in fact, our soft power, for the moment, is ancillary to the United States' hard power. But as we don't have hard one, we must develop soft power, and we're becoming masters in managing the soft power. And hard power in Europe will come very late, a mediatic scale, not in historic scale, perhaps in historic scale. In 20, 30 years we will have an European army, but is in mediatic scale, it's really the very far future. Very important also, we must expand our model by example. What means that if in Europe we don't respect human rights and our own values, it's impossible to expand them to the rest of the world. Even the rest of the world sometimes, when European Parliament makes a report every year to the state of human rights in the world, is very often they say, well, but you don't respect these human rights inside Europe. For example, in prisons, they are always telling us the same things. You don't do at your home what you are telling us to do. So one of the big weapons is to respect our values inside Europe. And to use our know-how. We often don't realize that we have a big know-how as to merge previous political systems in big regions or organizations, especially supranational organizations. As we are the first, we are already discovering how we can survive and improve our organization. That's a lot of know-how that other parts of the world don't have. Well, with that I think I can finish my presentation. That surely you will perhaps find a bit optimistic about the possibilities of Europe. But you must think that I've always lived and think and fight for Europe in times of crisis. I began to do that in the year 57. It was the year of the Treaty of Rome, which was the issue of the first crisis of Europe. And since that, every time there's a crisis and every time there's a step ahead. That's why I am fundamentally optimistic and why I think that one of the big forces of Europe is the capacity to find solutions to changing conditions of a world which is always changing. And finding these conditions with a goal that is not mentioned there, but is a fundamental one, is to serve their citizens, to maintain the human dignity of Europeans in a better way each time. That's what all men and women which have fought for Europe have always had as our goal, our line of political fight. Thank you very much.